Titans of Text.
Welcome, Atreides, Harkonnen, Sardaukar, Bene Gesserit, one and all, to the Titans of Text podcast. We are your hosts, Eric Ostrich
and Danny Austerity Nissenfeld.
And we have with us today Devin and Eric of Dune Mud. We're going to pour some water out and dig right into the sand with Dune Mud's history and where it is today. Welcome, Devin and Eric.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, so let's get started with how did both of you get into MUDs? Like, what's your history with them?
So I was a child of the 80s, and I grew up with Choose Your Own Adventure books. I don't know if you remember those. So I really got into those, and then I started to play, in the early 90s, I started to play this game called Planetfall, which was a text-based sci-fi game. It was similar to Choose Your Own Adventure, but after playing that, I found out that there were games like MUDs where you could play with other players. So at this time, I was really into kind of that post-apocalyptic sort of genre. I was really into that. I was probably 15 years old. And actually, Dune was the first MUD I logged into back in 1995. And a little funny tidbit, my name in the game is Landall, but I got that from a Choose Your Own Adventure book. But I accidentally misspelled it. The original name was Lowendahl.
Yeah, no way. I didn't know that. That's cool. Choose Your Own Adventure books are hilarious. I forgot all about those. I'm also a child of the 80s. And when I was heading up through elementary school, we had a bunch of computers in our classrooms. And for whatever reason, these kids started to play on BBSs. And they started playing things like Legend of the Red Dragon. And I kind of got hooked on those things. And when I first kind of started reading Dune, and I went on the internet and I did some searches, and just for whatever reason, I wound up on Dune Mud in like the late 90s, and I've kind of been here ever since myself. Crazy enough, now I actually own Dune and maintain it. So it's been here since I think the early 90s, like 91, 92, and it's still going strong in 2019.
So how did each of you become staff? I mean, you say you own it now. How did that come to be, and how did you come to be a staff member, Devin?
Well, I started in 1995, and you know, I was just did what all the other players did. I would, you know, played around, tried to beat other people, did a lot of, you know, player killing, that type of thing. But I think I only got to about level 20, and I just decided one day I wanted to learn how to program. I think it was mainly because I was taking programming classes in high school at the time. And I really wanted to try my hand at programming. Now, you know, coding on a MUD is a lot different than the Visual Basic and, you know, Fortran or whatever else I was doing in high school. So there was definitely a learning curve. But, you know, 20 plus years later, here I am still today, I left a couple of times, but I still have a lot of fun doing it every time I come back.
And Devin's actually done a really good job of recoding some guilds recently and doing a lot of really wicked work. So it's awesome. For me, I started doing coding when I was a really young kid. I started with basic, like raw basic. And I met up with some people on this MUD, and they started whizzing. And I was like, well, maybe I can do this too. Wow, I sucked when I was younger. I was really bad. I had no idea what I was doing. But, you know, over the years, I ended up going to school for computer science and figured out how things work. And next thing you know, I'm all the way at the top of the list. So, you know, we've had a lot of great whizzes that have been here in the past. And if you look at the whiz directory, there's names and names and names, and all of them have made huge contributions to this place. We've set our own record of being up for over a complete year without crashing, which I thought was absolutely huge.
Yeah, and I just want to build on that and say that, you know, Dune has had a lot of very dedicated wizards over the years that have put a ton of time into this. This is a highly modified game. So, you know, we're kind of working off the back of all their work over the past 20 plus years.
So what makes Dune Mud unique? What are some of the more interesting systems that set Dune Mud apart?
Yeah, I think, you know, any player is going to notice right off the bat that our class system, it's far more developed than most MUDs you're gonna play, largely because each of the guilds or classes is completely custom built. You know, we don't have a central class system. It's very much been, if a wizard over the years has had inspiration to do something, or they want to see some kind of system in the game, they've created a class that can do those things. So that is definitely by far the most unique and interesting part of Dune. And a lot of these guilds, to kind of follow up on that, a lot of these guilds or classes have subclasses on top of that, which add even more customization to, you know, how you want to play the game.
You know, when I think about Dune, because I read all the books some time ago, all the way up to the end of Frank Herbert's last book before he passed. I don't recall a lot of traditional things that would set classes apart in a mud. Like, you know, there's really no magic. There's no, you could have like ranger abilities, but people that train pets, the Sardaukar had those, and I guess there's fighting and some other things. So what sets the classes and the guild houses apart as far as what you can do in the game, like mechanics-wise?
Sure. You're right. You know, in a lot of ways, you're right, and that's one of the biggest challenges with class design in this universe is that you don't have magic, right? And even the things that are amazing in Dune are a lot more subtle than a lot of other sci-fi universes, right? You know, I mentioned this before, there are no aliens. Right, there's no mystical technology that you're going to draw from, and in fact, technology has been suppressed in the universe. So, you know, you can't even, you know, a lot of the times you can't even draw on that. But what we do with our classes is kind of, I mean, a lot of them are variations on fighters or rangers or assassins. Where we differentiate them is in the actual mechanics of the class, and they all have completely unique resource systems, completely different, you know, central mechanics that they run off of. And every guild that you play, it's going to be like playing a completely different game. You're going to use a completely different set of rules, different resources, and different maneuvers and abilities. And a lot of these guilds have many, 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 many abilities built into them.
And they're all kind of thematically based a little bit as well, you know, like the Twi'lax are based assassins, right? So they jump you and do a lot of damage up front and then run away and hide and get invisible. Things like the Bene Gesserit are, you know, because in the books, they're masters of manipulation of their bodies, right? They're resistant to poisons and things like that, right? So, you know, over the years, a lot of people have, you know, really studied the books in depth and tried to put thematic things in place for each one of those guilds. And, you know, as much as some of the skills might kind of be out of left field, a lot of them are really, you know, really well thought out, which I think is great.
You know, on a similar note, do you ever feel like being tied to such a well-known and, you know, I'll say it, it's future, it's very far future sci-fi, but it's pretty grounded. It's a pretty realistic take on sci-fi, other than maybe like the pilots, the spice, what spice does to people, and the weird cloning and stuff like that. Most of it's pretty grounded, you know, with stone burner nukes, with, you know, energy shielding. Okay, that's not possible yet, but it's not really that far-fetched. Do you ever feel like that specific IP limits what can be done in the mud in any way?
Well, it certainly does limit it, and that's one of the challenges. But, you know, I've often said, when it comes to things like that, that limitations make things more interesting. And I mean, we can focus, even though we can't focus on high technology, there are certainly types of technology that we don't have or we're far from, especially when it comes to traveling from planet to planet or the shielding technology. And also on top of that, because of shields, you know, we can focus a lot more on what kinds of physical training do these characters use? What kind of mental training do they do? And each guild and each class has a different sort of training that they go through that gives them specific abilities that make them good at something specifically. You know, so for example, you know, you might have, you know, the Harkonnens are known to be very cruel, and they have, I mean, they tend to be a little more based on your standard. It's kind of like, I mean, the Harkonnens originally were based on the sort of characterization of Nazis in World War II, right? That the kind of like poster Nazi that you would see in the US. And so with that type of stuff, we can take that characterization to the limit and create something that's maybe a little bit over the top, you know, to create an interesting and different sort of type of fighter. And we can do the same thing with assassins too. You know, Sardaukar have an assassin subguild that is very different than the Tulalax assassins. They have completely different training. They come from a completely different background. And you definitely will see that if you play those two guilds.
And I think it really comes down to, you know, like over the years, we've had some people that have very much studied these novels and really trying to draw out to the best of their imagination what these things could be capable of. And have worked really hard to try and put that into the game. A lot of this code is, like I said, it's almost 20 years old, right? And we've been doing our best to maintain and refurbish, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, it comes down to the work of a really good storyteller or someone who's really good at interpreting that story and putting it down into code and putting it down into the universe, right?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of, I'll be honest with you, my favorite projects had a lot more to do with how well the mechanics fit the descriptions, right? So theme and description adds a whole level of uniqueness to each guild as well.
Dune Mud has been around for some time. What do you all do to keep it interesting for the veterans who have been around for a decade or more?
When I first started the Mud in 1995, the max level was level 49. Now today, we pretty much are largely uncapped. So yeah, we have people that have been around for a long time and they're getting higher and higher level. What we've been doing recently is we've been documenting all of our old areas and documenting any areas that really haven't been used, and we can update them. We have a level scaling daemon that we use that can scale up any level to whatever, any area to whatever level that we want. And it's very highly tunable. Also, recently we've added an item database that instead of us databasing all the items, the players actually take part in that. They get a scanner device and they scan items and it adds all those items to the database. And they get, you know, similar to explorer points, they get points for that and prizes and that sort of thing. So yeah, certainly, you know, over the years we've added those things and many other things, which kind of, you know, make it interesting. We're always pushing the limits on things. We have invasions. So you can have, when I first started, it was a Sardaukar invasion, right? So the Sardaukar would invade your planet and you'd have to fight them off. Well, later on it became, you know, a Halloween invasion, and then a Santa Claus invasion. And then I think the most popular one is the pirate invasion. So you can kind of do fun things with the mechanics that we already have.
Yeah, Leo makes up a good point here. When we initially started many, many, many years ago, that maximum level was 49 or 50, and then it went up to 100, and then went up to 200, and now it's finally 999. But in raising all that, unfortunately, a good chunk of the code behind that wasn't really altered to support it. So we've been slowly but surely, like really slowly but surely, trying to raise everything and pull the balance back into play. Some of our higher level players are, you know, they're a little upset that they can't sometimes find places to kill and et cetera, et cetera. And so that's why we started doing the dynamic leveling system. And additional things, right? It's, you know, like kudos to the guys that balanced this all when it was back at 100 or you know, even 50. But when you have to scale like a kind of a game of this scale up to 999, it's a huge challenge. You know, sometimes we've been running into issues with that, but we're doing the best we can.
Are you tired of trying to get your MUD noticed on websites that not only look like they were designed in the 90s, but are about that stable too? Come to Grapevine. Here at Grapevine, helping your MUD look good is our top priority. Just head down to grapevine.house. That's grapevine.house. Your MUD has grown a lot since 1992. Why should you settle for a listing site that hasn't?
With all of this level scaling, 999 levels worth, is there any activities or anything in the game that is specifically designed as an end game activity for people that are in the upper echelons of the level range?
Well, there really isn't. I mean, not for that level range. What we have been doing is adding more challenging areas to the game that give better items and that sort of thing. In the background, I've personally been working on an artifact type system where you can collect different pieces and put them together, but that's far in the infancy stage. That has certainly been one of the challenges that we are focused on right now. And it's something that we are going to be making strides to address going forward.
So how do you handle the balance between incoming players and the older ones? Like, we're always trying to bring new players in, but we also want to keep the older ones, right?
Yeah, and this is definitely an area of opportunity for us. You know, at this point, 25 or more years later, you know, the older players have vast monetary resources, which really trivialize, you know, most of the new things that we implement that cost money per se. Fortunately, the guild or class system, it's not something that you can just bypass. Like, you have to put time into building your guild stats, which are separate from your base mud stats. Even if you're a veteran player and you start a new character, you're going to have to put the time in to level up your guild stats. In our game, gear and items don't confer as much power as your guild stats. So that's really where all of your power is coming from. And you really need to put the time in, as I said, to build those up.
As a kind of an aside to that, really with the movie coming out in, I think it's next year, a year and a half from now, Villeneuve is directing. I think it's going to be awesome. I'm really excited for that. But I really think that that might open a bit of a pipeline for us to gather some new players. And at the same time, I'm trying to streamline kind of the onboarding process, work with the wiki pages to, you know, have a bit of an opening manual for new players, give them a route that makes them feel comfortable, hopes that they will, you know, interact with some of the existing players, get some feedback from them, some advice, those sorts of things, right? We want new players to come on and feel as comfortable as possible, right? We don't want to alienate them by, oh, look at all these old people that have been around forever and you're new, insider. You know what I mean? Like, we're really working hard to streamline that process and make the new players an easy transition into the game.
I was on Dude Mud last night and I noticed that someone, the highest level person that I could tell that was on the game, had a pretty big number next to their name, had a tag at the end of their name and title that indicated they were a bot. So obviously you guys tolerate botting to some level. What is the stance on botting in Dune Mud? And do you find that other players who don't bot, do they ever complain about it?
We have had players complain about it. It's mainly having to do with a bot coming in and killing, you know, a poorly programmed bot coming in and killing all of the monsters in an area that they're killing in. Now, needless to say, that bot is probably going to outlevel them very quickly. But how the bots work is the bot doesn't have the ability to say player kill. It doesn't have, it's separate and you have to register the bot. Also, the bot is open PK to any players that want to take a whack at them. So if you start a bot, it's going to get killed a lot. So there are some downsides to having a bot. I'll be honest with you, the botting aspect of the game is something that has always existed in the background. It's something that we always fought with. And, you know, what we really realize is there's a whole group of players that get pleasure out of playing this game through programming AI to play the game. Like, that's how they enjoy the game. So I think in the past, we really came down hard on it, but I think we were alienating, you know, they're our most loyal players. They've been our most loyal players over the past couple decades. And I personally can't see why we would want to outlaw them or make it so they can't play, because this is where they come to do these things. As long as we separate it from normal players, I don't see that there's any issue with it. And most players don't have a problem with it.
And as I mentioned, kind of before we started, we were chatting about this, but I think it fits in really, really wonderfully with the theme of Frank Herbert's Dune universe, right? The whole AI is bad thing. And hence, if you want to bot, well, it's allowed, but, you know, the other players are going to punish the crap out of you. They're going to they're going to jump you if they see you in the open. So you really kind of, if you want to do botting, great. But just be aware that, you know, you might get pummeled down to oblivion if some players find you and have an open field day with that, right?
Yeah, and we have players that they make it their mission to hunt bots. Like, they will sit there and they will kill that bot over and over again. And that's kind of the balance.
So we've already talked about how Dune Mud has been around for a very long time. Are there any things that you've wanted to change for a while that just seemed to impossible to do at this point?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I think our biggest strength is also one of our biggest hurdles, and that's the guild class system. The guilds are completely custom with no, you know, they don't have a whole lot of standardization. And because players have independent guild levels and guild experience, sometimes it's really difficult to balance. And each guild by itself is over, I mean, most of them are around or over 10,000 lines of code. Now, you know, we've definitely taken steps to, you know, move certain functions and certain aspects of guilds into a common object of code. But this is something where anytime we want to change a guild to have that standardized code, we kind of have to do a recode, a back-end recode. So it's something that's going to take a little bit, and it's probably going to take a long time to get through them all, to be honest. But it's something that I think that we need to do is standardize some of this stuff more.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And really, balance is the huge issue, right? So moving from level 50 to 100 to 200 to 999, right? It's just how do you make enough areas to satisfy the player population? How do you deal with weapon classes, armor classes? How do you deal with, we noticed that players just weren't even getting hit anymore by the monsters. They're just, the total defense kicked in. So, you know, it's just constant little adjustments. Do I move this up a little bit? Do I move this down a little bit? Where is that right balance? And it's a difficult process, but, you know, I don't think it's impossible. It's just going to take a lot of hard work to find that right spot.
Right. And to kind of expand on that, you know, you can have two level 50 players that have completely different power levels, because you've had, you know, one player could be just power leveling up to level 50. The other one could really take their time and really build up their guild stats by the time they're level 50. So that's a challenge for us. And I think sometimes it seems insurmountable, right? Like, you'd have to back out a lot of stuff, but it's like I said, that our biggest hurdle, it's also our biggest strength. So it's not something that we want to completely remove. It's just a matter of standardizing.
So let's get out of design and building a little bit and go in game. What do you see is the role of staff in game? Are you guys more hands-off, just interacting socially or for help? Or do you guys actually get involved with players in?
We're pretty involved. We have rules about not changing, you know, we wouldn't want to affect the world, you know, so if I wouldn't, as an admin, go and kill a monster for someone. However, we're heavily involved in the sense that we're very present. We socialize a lot with the players. You know, we definitely have a very open line of communication with the players. So if they're doing something and they say, hey, you know, this might not be a bug, but the way this works is just a little bit off. Like, what do you think about that? We're very proactive about changing things and fixing things so that the players get the most fun out of it, because they're really, player feedback is of utmost importance to us.
For me, I really enjoy the social aspect of the game. A lot of these players I've known for 15, 20 years, right? So, you know, even in side conversations over that kind of a period of time, you get to know some of these guys. You know, like, I'm happy to jump on and just chat for an afternoon. And I love the fact that I can actually log into the mud on my cell phone now. For good or bad, sometimes maybe I should be away from it, but I really enjoy having that connectivity. And, you know, we got a really great group. So it's just, hey, come play, come hang out. And, you know, and as much as you want to grind, sometimes you need that extra little bit of social aspect just to pass over the grind as well, right?
What's on the horizon for Dune Mud? Is there anything interesting happening in the near future?
A few things in game. You know, we're, like I said before, we're moving towards more centralized code for the classes. I'm working on a few subclasses. I won't give too much away on that, but These subclasses have a little bit more of a, as close to an arcane feel or wizard feel as you can get without actually having magic. You know, we're really looking to make the class roles a little bit more, maybe a little bit more defined. And definitely we're focusing on, you know, higher level ascension style systems or something like that for high level players.
Really, I think our well, at least for me in my mind, I want to kind of basically do a broad sweep across the mud and address a lot of issues that, you know, we've had, and some of them have been festering for a while and things are getting fixed. But I really want to coincide it with the release of the new Dune movie, right? And if that maybe brings us 5 or 10 new players, you know, maybe I'm being optimistic, but I think that's amazing, right? And it just could be, you know, a really, really chance coincidence that this is happening, and I think it's going to be great. And I've got a really good team here that's working really hard at refreshing and revitalizing. You know, we spent probably 5 or 6 years kind of stagnant, where not a lot of work was getting done. But I really like the direction that we're going right now, and we're cleaning things. We're moving the code up to newer standards. Oh my God, you should see some of the code in the back. It's crazy. But yeah, like that's the goal in my mind, right? Like, this movie comes out in 2020. If we kind of are in a good place by that point, I'll be super happy.
Well, I'd like to thank both you, Eric, and you, Devin, for coming on to talk about Dune Mud with us and to shine a little light on maybe some of the stuff that's happening in the background and to get into all that history. It's been really good talking to you guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. The opportunity was great.
Deep in the human unconscious is a pervasive need for a logical universe that makes sense, but the real universe is always one step beyond logic.